Log Talk Radio.
Than some of y'all could do in 69 years.
Exactly. She put in the work, and that's what the important lesson that she did up there, that she put in the work.
Now, what?
Even from her being on drugs, giving up drugs, joining the Black Panther, making statements, not just being a part of a statement, but making statements was important.
The demise of her son's career, she picked that up. She negotiated with Suge Knight and Death Row, and then she became the sole responsibility heir for the legacy of Tupac. So we'll have nothing but love for her, as well as a question to you, GRX. What do you think the impact of future Tupac music, because there is some out there that hasn't been released, as well as future mixes, now that she's passed?
I think just like what we said about Prince, I think she has everything in order. It's in a place where it should be. Again, he does have a sister, so she'll probably get all the rights to his music and so on and so on. And hopefully, I don't know very much about his sister. And keeps his legacy alive and will.
Yeah.
And look,
yeah, my sense is that she has pretty much secured his catalog, and she has an estate. And we know that as well as she's running a foundation in his name. So unlike Prince, his assets will be cared for immediately without undue probate and court and people showing up out of woodwork talking about I'm Tupac's cousin. And I'm Tupac's other son.
Right. And hopefully, we don't have to hear about all of that. Hopefully it just goes seamlessly.
Now, I'm just going to get off topic because I don't have a will. I don't have no children. I got a lot of stuff that I'm going to leave behind if I go to date. One of the news reporters whose attorney suggested that this is why you should have a will, even if you got $3 billion or $300, to avoid all of the clamoring and you can have some control from the grave of your assets and your estate.
Well, I have a living will. I think it's very important to have that because that takes the guesswork out for the rest of your family. It takes some of the arguments out for the rest of your family because it's already written down the way that you want it and how you want it done. It's the same way with my mother passing. She had one. She had everything in place. And so all we had to do really was just follow the script.
And we know it.
And so if you do that, it's I think it's a must. Even if you don't have children, even if you have a lot of children, you need to have something in place so that the government don't get your stuff. Or the people that you did, all of the work that you did, go to somebody else that didn't do any work. Or that you just didn't work for.
Or
so have something in place. You could just get written on a piece of paper, have something in place.
Yeah, I have something in place. So what you're telling me is that I need to get off my ass and put something in place.
Yeah, like I said, if you don't do no more than write it on a piece of paper and put it somewhere with your important paper so that if somebody comes across it, they will at least know what is what. So if you need to have a good conversation with someone that you trust that will be able to execute what you entrusted into them.
Yeah, that part right there, finding somebody you trust. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and we were talking about the Prince thing and how it's working out, and he and I just lost a little homie around the corner to cancer, we were just talking about this. Wow, you see how quickly things is moving out of order that we knew just a week, a month ago? To just a state of flux. And he was like, yeah. I said, bro, I ain't getting no younger. I'm at 51, and this is why I get up and ride my bike every day and then do what I do and then come on back home and try to just stay steadfast. But his thing to me was we kind of left the conversation because it was like, Well, bro, looking at Prince, I said, you know, they're saying that he had more than one doctor now. He had possible multiple prescriptions. We don't know for sure, but it's looking as if he might have been on prescription dope toughness. And he's like, man, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to believe nothing.
And you know what? At this point, I don't think that it's important that we know exactly what his demise was. All we need to be realistic is what his work was. See, everybody knows looking for the bad aspect after somebody died. Well, look at that. That bitch, you know, always hear the clamoring and the backstabbing after the person is gone.
But you said it right.
I think that you need to look at his legacy, his work when he was here. And that's all we should focus on.
And so we were talking about, well, look how he left. He didn't put a will in place, left $300, $400, $800 million, probably a billion once you start doing all the math. And they said he owned over 27 properties in the Minnesota area. And these weren't $5 properties. And so,
and they wasn't $5 a bottle, so we knew that.
And so I, you know, the conversation just went to something that you and I talked about, which was, he doesn't have any children that we know of, and there's somebody showing up saying that my mama used to be hanging out with you, and I might be your son. However, as far as we know, there's no evidentiary evidence of a offspring. And so it ended up with the question of, what were the women in his life thinking about? That was a foolish move. Out of all of them, they should have did something to make sure that they had a part of his legacy. Now, that may be selfish on the woman's part, but it might have been a smart move on the child's part.
If there was a child involved.
And it certainly would have been a smart move with regard to this mediation of the estate.
Yeah, well, I think that.
I already know, GRX, hindsight 2020, but,
right,
you know, the long and short of it, as my man was sitting there by himself, single, doing his thing, and I was doing my thing, he was like, well, look, if Prince can't find a date, then you know why you and I can't. That's just how it's going to be, man. Wow. Okay, let's move out of death for a quick second, and let's talk about this box office thing, because once again, you see the Jungle Book just does Jungle Bookness, okay? The Jungle Book does Jungle Bookness, and people are enamored, as well as, is it that folk ain't spending a lot of money on Hollywood films that Hollywood has suggested should be the things that we watch? You know, there's several movies out there right now that have something about them. Keanu Caitlin and Keel, what Keel or Keel, I don't know his name. But everybody's talking about that, but they ain't making that money like the other one.
Well, again,
and it was number three.
Marketing.
It was number
you
three.
You know, again, comedy, when you're looking at the big picture things, and we're talking Oscars and those kind of things, when you look at the big picture things, comedies don't do well in that realm. They're looking for serious type style movies. And I think sometimes they overlook that the fact that the comedic action in the movie is great. But they just automatically write them off. If it's a comedy, it's written off the top. I don't care how much money that movie will make. It will never make enough to make it to the Oscars.
But what if it's, you know, I like, what's your boy? Is it Mike Gaff coming up with a new movie right now? Just got released. And the themology just, it's 2016 black exploitation, ain't it?
Pretty much.
I mean, even the last movie that the critics hated, when they're putting on two-foot Klan mask and all that, you know, that just came out 3 months ago. It didn't do nothing in the box office. Went straight to video. But my point is, are African-Americans and people of color Because this is what we've seen in the beginning. You're either going to get a Bollywood movie, and that's got people of color, or you're going to get a Latin-themed movie, and that's got people of color, or you get the bifurcation that you see on ABC. You got Jane the Virgin, you got Fresh Off the Boat, which is about Asians, and, you know, Fresh Off the Boat is a negative term, okay? That's like calling you a nigger or a negro or a wetback, that type of thing. And then you got the Goldbergs, that's a Jewish family with issues, and then you got the Catholic family, the O'Neills, with the gay son, and that's the prominent issue there, and they're getting a divorce. I mean, doesn't it seem as if we're in a retracted moment where you're going back to the 1970s.
I think what happens is, Marty, that nothing is new. And so we have to go backwards and pull some of that and make it new. And so you get a lot of remakes and a lot of redos on a lot of different things. And we can name it what we want to name it, but we travel back into the 70s.
Okay, so I should prepare for the 2017 version of Chico and the Man.
Exactly.
I should prepare for the 2017.
You just gave away your prize winning money right there when you said redo Chico and the Man.
Yeah, I actually should have not said that on air, and I should have really just told you privately, because so somebody going to go out there and steal my thunder. Okay.
And watch. Guarantee it.
Guarantee it. But here's the thing that I'm having a problem with. Okay, those are our generation shows. The Jeffersons are our generation shows. Okay? Good Times is our generation show. The Holt is our generation show. And they all have one thing in common, is they deal from a familial aspect, even the Holt. He was a problem scientist that drank his own poison. But he was a really nice fatherly type until you pissed him off. But at the end of the day, my point is, okay,
this medication was just a little bit different.
Yeah, he wasn't on Percocet. He was on Perlinet. You know, if they keep this shit up with these funny-ass medicine names, I guarantee you they're going to come out with a Snoop Dogg medicine called These Nutsiums. And when you're on These Nutsiums, beware that you could actually have a heart attack from your own nuts. I mean, this is ridiculous. But getting back to the point, as Hollywood got to the point and sitcoms and all of this shit, to the point, and even your podcast, everything, it's like a caricature off of the same old Ice Cube movie, off of the same old Tupac lyric, off of the same old hook, once we figured out what the hook was going to be. And then it's part Hamilton, part Sounder, part The Color Purple, part Emotional Testimony, part Jerry Falwell in the pulpit. And then we're going to end it up with a little Reverend Price and ask you for some money.
We get it.
High in the sky, by and by, my brother. High in the sky. I don't know, you're so young, you don't know nothing about that, huh? Your family wasn't watching that channel, but we was watching Father Divine, and we was watching Reverend Ike. They just seemed to all be out there in Indiana and Detroit area, Chicago.
So trying to make it do what it do.
All right, bro. Let's talk about this before we go into the break, because it looks like the Talk has gotten another Emmy. And what are they doing that the View is not doing? The View started this gangster female shit, and this is the damn thing they get. What is the View now?
When they started with gangster female. You see what I'm saying now?
Barbara Walters is gangster, homie. I'm telling you, Barbara Walters from the time she showed up, okay, was gangster. She, I agree with you on that. I have a lot of respect for Whoopi and where she's going, but it does seem taking control it to the extent that Barbara was the marquee MC on air while we're producing and filming, as well as the backstage leader. What is the problem? What is the problem?
Because when you bring in these new people, they're bringing their opinions in. They're not bringing any facts in.
Well, let's be specific.
You get what we get?
Well, let's be specific. Now, I'm going to say straight up. I think that the addition of Raven Simone got them more than they bargained for, and that has created a situation where when you're looking at them live, it just seems as if...
she doesn't fit.
Somebody we can all agree that we don't like and we know that we don't like them up front, so we're not torn between that old cute child. You know, it's like Tippett Bledsoe, you know, or Rudy. You know what I'm saying? It's not torn between that cuteness of, that you knew when they got on stage as opposed to the woman or the human that they are now. And I really think if they really wanted to get their ratings back up and just kick up some dust, because they're good at kicking up dust. They need more dust. That's the problem, is the dust going in the wrong direction or one direction. I think if they got Melissa Harris Ferry job, and people would tune in just to tune out. And their because their ratings would just be like, oh, my geez. You know, a lot of folks don't like her, and it has nothing to do with her sexuality. It has more to do with her viewpoint.
Right, exactly. It's the meaning. It doesn't have anything else to do but with her view. And a lot of people, a lot of the older people that watch The View don't like her view.
Well, what's better about your talk?
I'm married to my child and my children, and they want to do something right to the left, and I'm like, oh, that's not a good idea.
Okay.
Oh, that's not a good idea. I don't like it. It's the same one that's happening on the show. She's growing up on the show, so to
speak. Yeah, that part right there, I already figured that out. And what we're seeing is maybe, you know, if you were my child, I'm about to take you in the back room and tell you why you're my child. Because you're not going to go back out there and embarrass me no more. But
it's just like with what I'm saying about the ghetto name. You can't put that little ghetto name on you.
I mean,
and the way you spell it, the way your daddy spelled it for you.
Look at the show. They got a Raven. They got a Whoopi. They got a Joy. I mean, good Lord, bro. I mean, they got a Candy, a Candace. I mean, come on now. What the ghetto name is irrespective of where we are in 2016, and that reflects some of her lack of maturity. But you know what? We can't give her much more time. You know why? Because we need to talk about the comedian-in-chief, President Obama, and the fact that will his legacy be sort of like what we're analyzing The View, just low comedy, highbrow comedy, or substantive policy issues of which we only remember his jokes about.
Well, I think his legacy is going to be a great legacy, and then on the other end, something that's changing. And it's changing for so many different reasons. And we don't have enough time, and we got a 2-hour show to talk about back into that and the things that he put in place. And I don't care if it was just him putting it in place. This has been a process that has been going on for the last 12 years. And so whether you're Republican or whether you're Democrat, once you're in that office, you are a servant. And as a servant, you need to serve. And that's what they made him to do.
Well, I think that the comedy shtick that he did at spot on. I do like the fact that he tapped into all of the newness and dropped the mic on the way out, like Obama out. But it also reflects me that maybe we should get him to South L.A. soon so he can get in the studio with Too Short.
Well, too, I'd like to see him on a lot of distance shows, actually, to see how he deals with that, you know? I'd like to see him on Bill Maher.
Yeah, I think he has a future, certainly, in entertainment, which might be his legacy. GRS, we are out of time, and the baby just told us that again, so we got to go.
Yeah, she's telling me it's concerned that it's out of time.
It's out of time, and let's see if we can, you know. All right, bro, I'm out.
All right, teach you all self. Thank you. Thank you.